Okay, last Wednesday we talked about how we get faith, and we found out that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We found out that the Word is nigh thee, and even in your heart. We found out that you get it in your heart, and then you say it with your mouth. So it's going to be, you're going to get faith, is going to come by hearing the Word of Christ, literally hearing the words of Jesus. And then you keep feeding on that and feeding on that, getting it in your heart till it builds up where you can forcefully say something by faith. The best key to supernatural faith is focusing on the grace of God. When you see the grace of God and the mercy of Jesus, when you see these things, when you see Him and His grace, faith will happen in your heart. A lot of times people try a mechanical recipe for faith. Do this, do this, do this, and then do this. Like they're going to make faith happen. But if you just focus on the grace of God, literally focus on the cross of Christ, and focus on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith, and see the things that He's done for you, that'll cause faith to happen in your heart, and you'll act in faith. Now let's go to Acts chapter 14, verse 7. We're going to talk about faith for healing. Acts chapter 14, verse 7. And there they, Paul and Barnabas, preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," and he leaped and walked. Now, if you just read that as a story, you might kind of think, isn't it a wonderful how Paul healed that man? However, Paul did not heal that man. Paul did not do that. The man was not healed because Paul was an apostle. He was not healed through Paul's faith. This is important. People don't get healed by you. You're not the healer. You're the seed sower. Amen? This will take a lot of pressure off people when they realize this. You're not a faith healer. You are a seed sower. Jesus said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that's what I will do." You do the praying, Jesus will do the doing. He's the healer. He's the cool one. Amen? And by the way, it's because of Him and what He did that people get healed. It's not because you spent 34 and a half days fasting, 27 of those days praying in tongues. These are all good things. It's still Him. It's still Jesus. Amen? He is the faith healer. You are the seed sower. Amen? The man himself had faith to be healed. Paul did three things. Number one, he preached the gospel. He sowed the word. Remember Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel"? That's what Jesus said. That's to us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You're sowing seed when you do that. He perceived that the man had faith to be healed. This is very important for people. When you're dealing with people, you have to locate them. You have to find out where these guys stand. See, the day of just throwing these random prayers of faith out on everybody, that's got to stop. It's good to pray the prayer of faith, but you have to understand, not everybody's going to have the faith for a miracle. Not everybody's going to have the faith to walk out of that place healed. I thought it was interesting. I was reading about Kenneth Hagin one time, and he was out in California, and he got an urgent message that his wife was going in for surgery. So he was coming home in a hurry to go pray the prayer of faith over her, and God said, stop that. Well, why would God say that? I said, she doesn't have the faith to receive it all. She has the faith to get healed with the doctor's help. See, some people are there. Some people, it might be a bit of a stretch for them to just walk away from the doctor. Some people, you know, say, okay, if I take my medicine, you know, you can minister to people. You find out where they're at. It's okay if people have to take medicine. Oh, I said that, didn't I? Pray over your medicine and take communion. You pray over your food, don't you? Don't you think it would be wise to pray over your medicine? Pray over your medicine. Take communion and receive your healing as you can. Here's the thing about Jesus. He's so cool. One man came up to him and said, I need you to come lay hands on my daughter. Jesus said, okay, I'll go lay hands on your daughter. Another man come up there and said, all you got to do is just say the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus said, okay, I'll say the word. What was going on? He was meeting people where they were at. Amen. He didn't demand anybody to come up to his level. He met people where they had faith to receive from him. Amen? It is a good thing for us to pay attention to where people are at. You'll be able to find them by visiting with them and listening to them a little bit. And you'll know where they're at. There's only a handful of people I ran into that were ready to just receive an absolute, you know. But usually this is what it'll sound like. They'll come up to you and say, I've had enough of this. I want you to agree with me that this thing is done. And they'll tell you just exactly, they'll let you know. They're full of faith. They're going to walk, they're just wanting somebody to agree with them. Amen. Not everybody's going to be there. Don't demand anybody to be there. Find out where they're at and meet them where they're at. Amen. And then Paul told the man to stand up and walk. He's seen this guy had faith to be healed, so he said, okay, let's get it. He told him to stand up and walk. Now the guy had to do something. The man did three things. Number one, he heard Paul preach. He heard the word and he got it in his heart. You're not going to get it any other way. You're going to have to hear that word of God preached. You're going to have to hear that word of Christ preached. You're going to have to hear it. And then the man had faith to be healed. He heard it. He got it in his heart. He believed it. And then he got up and walked. This is key to the whole thing. I always talk about Peter jumping out of the boat. You know, there could have been 12 disciples walking around down that water. They all heard that word. And only one of them jumped out of the boat. I got to noticing that every time somebody got healed, every time a miracle happened, somebody did something. They heard the word, they believed it in their heart, and then they put action to it. This was the thing that was holding me back for so long. Is I hear the word, I believe it in my heart, I just couldn't get that last thing. I couldn't figure that last thing out. And finally, one day I got it. It just clicked. You know, the blind man, he was a beggar. And in that day and time, you had to wear a special coat that signified you as a beggar. That was his license to make a living. Jesus said, come here. And the man threw his coat away. This is key. See, the guy was at a crossroads. When Jesus said, come here, the guy could have walked up there with his coat. You know, well, just in case this doesn't work, I got something to fall back on. What is that? That's doubt and unbelief. He could have doubted Jesus and walked away a blind man. And instead he said, no, I am getting my miracle. And he threw his coat away, walked up to Jesus, and he got his sight. Amen? He did something. He got rid of his crutch and got healed. Now remember, the believing comes before the receiving. That old verbiage that says, I'll believe it when I see it, that has to leave your vocabulary 100%. That's got to go. That should never cross your lips ever again. You're going to receive what you believe. It's not going to come any other way. You're going to have to believe it in your heart, and then you're going to have to step out in it. I mean, it might hurt really, really bad before you take that first step. But the next step will be easier. And then the next step will be better. The man was not healed by some power that Paul had. It was not Paul's power. The man himself had faith to be healed. You know, Paul could have lined up 10 guys just like that. And prayed, he could have preached the gospel to all 10 of them. And only one of them would have got out healed maybe. If whoever believes they receive, those are the ones that are going to get up. This is key to keep you from getting down. Because sometimes people get confused. And sometimes people really get depressed over this because they pray a good prayer for their friend or their mom or their dad or their kid or whoever they pray for. They release their faith. They prayed earnestly. They believed God and nothing happened. Well, something did happen. You released your faith. The power of God went forth to heal that person. But guess what? A person has to receive. If there's no reception at the end of the pass, there's no touchdown. Now, where did this man get faith to be healed? He heard Paul speak. Verse 9. Paul preached the gospel. Paul preached a gospel of salvation and a gospel of healing. He literally preached salvation. not just born again. Unfortunately, a lot of the church world has that word salvation reduced to born again. Salvation includes healing, deliverance, protection, everything a man needs. There's something like 28 English words it takes to describe that one word, salvation. And it's not just about being born again. You know, if the church would get a hold of this, it'd stop a lot of the church fights. Healing is just as much a part of the gospel as being born again. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is just as much a part of the gospel as being healed. Amen? It's all in there. The full gospel. I'm kind of ornery sometimes. To other preachers. I like to locate them. I don't know. It's just something. It's just in me. I'll run into another preacher and we'll be visiting. And they'll say, "You're a pastor?" "Oh, yeah." And I say, "You're a preacher?" "Yeah." "You preach the full gospel?" "Oh, yeah, I preach the full gospel." I say, "Oh, okay. So you believe in being born again?" "Oh, yeah." "Okay, so you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" "Oh." "So, well, you said you preached the whole gospel." "Do you or don't you?" Paul preached the gospel of salvation, gospel of healing. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You should be able to stand up in front of anybody and tell them what you believe. That boldness is something that comes from God. That boldness is something come from an understanding of who you are in Christ. Now, here's an interesting note from the Scofield Bible referring to this verse. The Greek and Hebrew word for salvation implies ideas of deliverance, safety, healing, and soundness. Therefore, Paul was saying, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto deliverance, safety, healing, and soundness." Paul preached the full gospel, not just part of it. Now, here's an interesting thing. I know you've all heard this term, once saved, always saved. You know, and then there's some people that say we're not saved until we get to heaven. Guess what? They're all partially right and they're all partially wrong. You have to understand. Keeping in mind what salvation means. You are saved. The minute you get born again, you are saved. You are going to go to heaven. Okay? You are being saved. You are being saved. Are you done being delivered? Are you done being healed? Are you done being prospered? Are you done being taken care of? Okay, then you're being saved. And you will be saved. I had a charismatic Catholic that worked for me. And he had actually sat under a pretty famous priest that was a charismatic Catholic. You know, you're not going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit unless you're born again. Yes, there are some charismatic Catholics. There are Catholics that are born again, that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he said, I told him that. I explained that to him one day. I said, you are saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. And he looked at me like I slapped him with a wet fish. And he said, do you know how Catholic that sounds? And I said, do you know how Christian that sounds? He said, I've never seen anybody like you before, he said. No, that's just the way it is. But that's salvation, though. It's not just born again. Go to Acts chapter 8, verse 5. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Now the great miracles recorded in these verses came about as a result of Philip's preaching Christ. He preached Christ. The New Testament knows no Christ without Christ the healer. There's no such thing as God wanting you to be sick. There's some people that think it's God's will for them to be sick. And then they go to the doctor and get medicine to get better. Now just stop there for just a second and think about what you're doing. If it's God's will for you to be sick, then why are you going to get medicine to be in direct opposition to His will for your life? Jesus paid for your healing when He took those stripes on your back. It is His will for you to be healed. Now, the New Testament knows no Christ without Christ the healer. Physical healing is part of the gospel. If there is no gospel of healing today, then neither is there a gospel of salvation. If you take any part of it out, you negate all of it. From Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we found out that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we found out that that word God in there was translated Christos. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. And you can go into the Old Testament and read the law, and that's not going to build one ounce of faith in your heart. Unless you know how to read it from the grace side of the cross. And you go in there and you identify Jesus in those sacrifices. You identify Him where He's the bullock. You identify Him where he's the peace offering, the grain offering. He is identified in each one of the offerings in the Old Testament sacrifices. But you have to understand what you're looking at and find Jesus in that teaching, or it'll build fear and condemnation into your heart. James chapter 1 verse 22 tells us to be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. what he's talking about there is there's a lot of people, even today, that will sit in church and shout hallelujah when they hear the word of faith. But when it comes time to put action to what they've heard, they stop. What they've done is they've given it mental assent. They say, I believe the word of God, I believe the Bible, I believe it 100%. But they don't, because they don't put action to it. Faith will always have action. Just like Peter jumped out of the boat, just like the woman with the issue of blood. That was a special woman. She heard something about Jesus. She heard something about Jesus healing people. She just didn't come up with this idea one day. She heard something about Jesus healing people. Now, keep in mind, you know, sometimes if you daydream these scriptures a little bit, you know, Jesus was walking down and the head of the synagogue was right there. There was a lot of scribes and Pharisees surrounding him. There was a lot of important people concerning the law surrounding him. And a lot of men surrounding him. And according to the law, she was not supposed to have any contact with any men because of this blood issue. And certainly, she should not be in contact with any scribes and Pharisees, because she could get stoned for that. Now, understand this. Stoning was a horrible way to go. It wasn't fast. It was against the law to use too big of a rock. It had to be a big enough rock to cause pain, but not too big of a rock to put them out of their misery. It had to be a rock that would make them linger to a slow death. Now, this woman knew that, but she put action to what she believed, and she went through there and she touched those people. You know that she had to bump up against Pharisees and scribes and men to get to Jesus to touch him. So she put everything on the line to receive what she believed. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. Father, we ask you that you open our hearts in a special way so we can receive these new creation realities and get a bigger, bolder revelation of who Jesus is to us. Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.